Welcome to At the Crossroads Church weekly podcast. Our hope is that you will grow in your walk with God and be blessed and encouraged in your daily lives as you listen. You can visit us at our website at atthecrossroads.ca.
My message is a little more geared towards those guys, to our delightful youth and young adults, but it's good for everybody, so I don't want you to tune out. So there's something that is said in church over and over, and it started to bug me after a while, and it was that, you know, oh, we got to pour into our young people because they're the next generation. And on the outset, that doesn't sound bad at all, but the more I heard it, they're the next generation. We got to pour into the next generation. It's going to be the next generation. And as a youth, you hear it a lot over and over, like, you're the future, you're the future, you're the future. No pressure, by the way. It's kind of like, I have a little meme here I can show you because young people like memes. It's like, you know, the Simba syndrome, I call it. Look at all this. It will one day be yours, you know. And the youth are, you can cut that. The youth are told that over and over. But I'm here to de-influence that. So I'm saying that's not it. So get that out of your mind right now. It's not true. You're not the future generation. You're not... what's next? You're what's now. And you're very much needed for right now. And what happens with that concept of, well, you're next, is that they start to feel, I'm not ready now. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And statistically, they did some work with, I keep wanting to say Gen X, but it's Gen Z, with Gen Zers, and they asked them, and they took some statistics across the board, and they realized that the Gen Z generation doesn't feel ready. They don't feel ready to be adults. They don't feel ready to lead. They don't feel ready to do things on their own. They don't feel they're ready yet. So they need to learn more. They need to grow more. They need to know more. But they don't really feel like they're ready. And they often feel like, well, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Like, they need to know what they're supposed to do before they can do it. So I want you to just scrap that from your brain. De-influenced, that's not true. You don't need to be ready. You need to be willing. That's it. You don't have to be ready. You just have to be willing. So I have two questions, and this is for everybody, but especially if you're young. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And two, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And if the answer is yes, then you're ready. You've got everything you need to be effective right now in the kingdom of God. And the example that I really love and I want to look at is Jesus. I love looking back at Jesus. I don't know why. It's just the foundation of our faith, something like that. So I like to see what he did. And when I look historically at the 12 disciples, for example, they were all young. And you might be shocked to find out how young. So we learned through the scripture that Peter, one of the 12 disciples, was the only one who had a wife. Now, typically in those days, you got married as a man at about 18. So we see there's a really good basis in the Bible already that young people are effective. Young people are needed. If you're young, you're ready right now. And the reason is because you have the same Holy Spirit on the inside of you as I have. I don't have a special, you know, there's no like you become a pastor and it's like, here's a special pastor, Holy Spirit. You know, we don't have anything extra or anything special that you don't have. The same Spirit that lives in me is the exact same Spirit that is alive on the inside of you. And we can see that. We're going to look at Romans 8:11. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. There we go. He lives in you. The same Spirit of God that is the resurrecting power of God is on the inside of you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. There it is. Easy peasy. You got it. Same Spirit lives in me, lives in you. And what you don't want to do is fall to that lie that's easy to fall into that, well, it's already taken care of. The grown-ups have got it. You know, there's somebody out there somewhere. I don't know where they are. I don't know who they are. Somewhere it's dark, but they're already doing the thing. You know, I show up. I'm not needed. Let me tell you, no matter how old you are incredibly needed in the kingdom of God. You are necessary in the kingdom of God. You are essential to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God cannot function without you. Every single one of us is desperately needed. And I want to just encourage you, we're going to bring up our next scripture, that nothing you do for God is ever wasted. So it says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Aren't teenagers generally enthusiastic? It's easy. So, for you know that nothing that you do for the Lord is ever useless. Isn't that amazing? So nothing you do for God is useless. You may not feel like you're ready to do something for God, but if you're willing to do something for God, if you do that thing, it's never wasted. Nothing we do for God is ever wasted. And I'm going to pick on Project Praise a little bit because it's amazing and I love it. I remember it was happening like Friday night and Travis and I were standing up in the sound booth. So we're standing up there and we're looking at these guys. They didn't need us. They were just doing their thing. And all the youth were there. They don't know who we are. You know, they didn't know we were the pastors of this church. And I was just like, fly, little birdies, fly. It was just great. It was amazing to see them taking over. And that's a great example. Project Praise, for example. We had 140 youth packed out this house because two kids, Jonas and Vincent, decided, you know what? Let's do something for God. I was at two kids, and now there's 140 kids all going home, telling their friends, telling the rest of their youth group, telling their church, God is alive and amazing. How incredible is that? And so my challenge to you guys this morning is the same challenge that I give to myself. And it's asking God, what can I do? What can I do for your kingdom? Or my very favorite, this is the one that I like to use on a daily basis, is Holy Spirit, show me what I can do today. Holy Spirit, give me something to do today. You know, the Bible actually says that God has preordained good works for you to walk in. That just blows me away. I don't know. That one I think is the best. What do you have for me to walk in today, God? How can I serve you today? And if you do that, I promise you, your life will fundamentally transform. Fundamentally transform. And don't be afraid that you're not ready. Don't be afraid. Jesus sent out these 12 disciples. I don't know if you guys remember, but in the Gospels, it talks about Jesus sends out his disciples about midway through his ministry to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And that's all we need is just a willingness to follow the Lord. But we come from such a higher position as Christians now on the backside of the cross. So let's look at John 14. Verse 12, it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. So they did great things and the Father, he hadn't even gone to the Father. He wasn't even sitting on the right hand of the Father. And now he is. And now we have the promise from Christ himself that we will do even greater works. And you can ask anything in the name of Jesus and he will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. It says, Jesus said, yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And let's go on to verse 15 to 18. It says, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. So if you feel unprepared, God has already made a way for you to be fully equipped. You know, there's a classic saying, and the older crowd will know what it is. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And it's so true. You don't need to be ready yet. You just need to be willing now. And Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit. And we have his word, and we have his promise that we'll do even greater things by his Spirit. He never leaves us, and he never abandons us, and we know that he goes with us to do his work. And he empowers us, and the Bible even says that the Holy Spirit will remind us what to say. Isn't that amazing? We don't even have to remember half the things. I know I don't. I just read the Bible and then put all my faith in Jesus for that. And I'm just going to finish up before I pass it over to Camilla here. We're going to read Romans 10, 13 to 15. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells him? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. If you don't feel like you're sent, I'm sending you now. I'm sending you. Go and preach the gospel. You're ready. You're ready now, and you're desperately needed. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Allison. That was awesome. Thank you, Hunter, for sharing too. I don't know where he went, but that's awesome. We're excited for you and your journey, Hunter. So, Travis has been speaking about authentic Christianity the last couple of weeks, which he was talking, we were exploring what it looks like to love ourselves and to love others. And we can come back, I think he'll come back more to that series later. Allison has been speaking to the younger generation, and I'm here to speak a little bit more to the mentoring generation, which I kind of include myself into. Of course, I was thinking we can pull up that slide with all the different generations because it gives us a bit of an overview of what they divided in year groups and stuff. And you know, the interesting thing is we talk about the younger generation and the older generation, but each generation has a next generation or a previous generation. So we all have, like, you know, there's the two dividing, but there's also everybody can mentor or teach something to the next one or the, yeah, and learn from the previous one. So I think the sort of general sense for the younger generation is this excitement for more, for bigger, for stronger, for louder, whatever. But for us in our generation, there could be more of a question, like, what about me? What is my role? Now what? Kind of thing. And I want to just look at, you know, generations is part of God's cycle for life. It's something that God created. Each season, time and generation has its own beauty, challenge, and role, distinct roles. And it's important to remember that each generation is very important. And that we need to embrace our unique roles and with authenticity, with understanding, with purpose, with love, with honor and cherishing of one another. I think that's really good recipe for success. That we can, and so we've talked about authentic Christianity. So what does it mean to be authentic anyways? Authentic means to be genuine or sincere. It means accepting and celebrating our unique roles, learning to communicate across the generations with love, respect, honesty, passion, and joy. Even God invites us, you know, he says, come, let us reason together. So we're welcome to come with questions, with concerns, but I think the sense is that we want to learn to do that with honor and cherishing and with curiosity and empowerment. That we, honesty is important, but just honor is equally important. Authentic means the original design, not a counterfeit. So we need to seek, I think, an understanding of the design of our season and our role. That helps us to avoid regret, envy, discontentment, disconnection, and selfishness. Those are risks that can happen sometimes when we are not understanding what our role and what season we're in. Sometimes we may not even want to accept it, you know. So being true, though, there's something authentic about being true to your own personality, spirit, or character. So as we begin to understand, then it will be easier to accept our own roles, and then even more to celebrate the uniqueness of our different roles. I think that's the goal. We want to be able to understand, accept, and celebrate ourselves and each other. I think then we will have an easier time even cherishing the other generation's role and needs when I find purpose and contentment in my own role. So that's a key. So as the older generation, what is God's design for us? Let's look at some scriptures. Titus 2, 3 to 5. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So we see here that God has designed for us to be good examples, and to teach and mentor the younger generation. So we need to display and teach the younger generation of our good character. So we need to grow in character. If we haven't, you know, God can help us with that. But it's, yeah, it's an important gift that we can give to display and teach about a good character. And also our experiences and our knowledge and wisdom is valuable too. You know, as authentic Christians, we need to be concerned about discipleship and mentoring the next generation. Let's look at another scripture. Matthew 28:18-19. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So discipleship is very much God's heart. And each generation can disciple the next generation. So it's not exclusive to just the older generation, but we do have a certain role in that. And it's very valuable and it's important. And let's look at 1 John 2:14. "I have written to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you young men because you're strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one." So the young are strong. There's that sense of victorious and full of life and vibrancy. But as older, we know the way. Actually, we don't even know the way. We know he is the way. We know the one who is the way. And so we need to teach people about God, who is the giver of life, giver of strength, and giver of victory. So sometimes we can sort of feel that we, you know, we may feel a little bit dull and old, and that some of our beauty and our strength is passing, and it might bring some insecurity. It's kind of like our positions and our roles seems to slide over a little bit. But then we need to remember that we also have had our season to shine, to grow, to succeed, to experience and learn. It's not just succeed, because even negative experiences are something valuable to pass on. You know, there's two ways to learn. You can learn through teaching, instruction, or you can learn through experience. And depending on your personality, sometimes you might be tending more for one than the other. But both is valuable. So your negative experiences are also something that you can teach and gift the next generation. So positive and negative experiences. So success is always not always defined by good experiences. So we have a lot to share. They're both valuable. And it's this sense, I usually look at it, that now is this time's, it's this generation's turn to shine and to, we need to lift up the floor and be empowering and let them have their moment. And remember that we've had ours. And to step aside a little bit and let them fly and try their own wings and see what they can do. I remember saying one time to Travis' mom when we had some of our conversations wrestling across the generations that, you know, I think we just want to try our wings and see what they can do. And then I'm sure we're going to fly back home for advice, you know. And sure, we have done that many times. I remember when my kids were sick or so, I would pick up the phone and call Travis' mom, who had such wisdom and faith for healing. And it was such an encouraging thing just to know that she would be there to pray and give some words of wisdom and encouragement. And I know several times Travis has called his father. Many times there was practical issues in the house or something, and he didn't know what to do. He'd be like, "Hey, Dad, you know, what do I do with this?" So valuable. And I know even, you know, my son Jonas here, because I remember when they first started Project Praise, he was asking me, "Mom, are you going to sing with us?" And I was like, feeling a little bit out of place. I'm like, "Well, I'm not young. Like, you, shouldn't you have young people?" And he was like, "No, we need some experience too, Mom." And that was really honoring, but it was like just that they know they need, and they're actually longing for and recognizing they need that experience and that knowledge and that, you know, having done this before. So don't be afraid of offering that. I think sometimes there's a hesitancy in the older generation to offer what we have, or not knowing how to connect. How about picking up the phone and inviting a younger person for coffee? You know, and just chat, listen to each other's stories, or try to connect and pass on. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Now, I think in order for this, for this passing to happen a bit here, is that for it to happen successfully, and for us not to lose our wholeness and peace in this process, it's very crucial that we have our security and our primary role as God's children. That position of knowing that we're all his, it's actually important for both the younger and the older generation, but in this transition, it's very important to know our position, that primarily we're his children, It's not what our performance, what we can and cannot do, as much as it is who we are. We have known the way. We know the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we have to come back to that. I think that's many times something that happens when in that transition that we are seeing the need more to come back to that foundational truth of that who we are, not what we are. And we are children of God. And out of that, we can do a bunch of things, but it's who we are that is really important. And that revelation of sonship and adoption is a very foundation for healthy performing of any kind of strength anyways. Because even in our weakness, he is strong. So the other thing that is needed in our generation is we need to be empowering and encouraging and selfless. I know I felt the Holy Spirit say that to my heart one time, that he said to me, I have need of generosity in the older generation, you know, to make some sacrifices and step aside. And that doesn't mean I don't have things to offer, you know, but it's giving them opportunities in the younger generation and coming behind. And, you know, there's a joy in that. I know Allison was mentioning we stood in the sound booth here taking videos, photos, just observing from the background how fun the young people had. And I just felt, this expression might not make sense, but I just felt like my heart was shining from ear to ear. You know, there's a joy in this. And I recognized my own spirit inside of my son. You know, he's going crazy, just hopping around. And I'm thinking, I love that. That's how I feel. Even though some of my strength these days are expressed differently, I might not have that same. But I want to say this, too, that the Holy Spirit, I think Allison mentioned that, too, but it's we all have the Holy Spirit. I want to look at one scripture that I think is so encouraging, Acts 2:17. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. But the thing is, so there's different roles or different things assigned to the different generations there. But it started with, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So we all have the Holy Spirit, which is wonderful, which unites us, which is our strength. And he will help us with this transition and communication across the generations, you know, because he's taking us in one direction towards the heart of the Father. And as we are allowing his spirit to rise up in and through us, he will guide us what he has need of in both generations. There's a need from the younger generation to honor and respect the older generation too and embrace the knowledge and the wisdom. And so that becomes very important. So we need to walk with our heads held up high and not feel like we're worn out or done over with, but realize like this church is a multi-generational church and we want to embrace every generation and we realize the value in every generation. And even as the older one, you're more needed than ever. So don't despise what you have to give because there is we're called to be mothers and fathers and raise up spiritual sons and daughters for his kingdom. But that comes out of knowing our sonship in him. Amen? Okay. Blessings.
Didn't they do great? Isn't that awesome? Such a good word. I just wanted to wrap this up before Pastor Peter takes us to communion. We're going to have the Lord's table. But if we could just bring up that slide, just about the generations. Go back one to the generations. So, who here, let me see, would say, I'm part of the silent generation. Let's see your hands. We got any here? The age is there. Okay. Oh, there we go. Let's give her a hand. That's awesome. Jackie Terry. Awesome. She's not silent anymore, though. She's preaching the gospel, right? Who's part of the baby boomer? Let's see your hands. Look at all these hands going up. This is amazing. Good. Who's part of the Gen X? Okay, we got some Gen X coming up. That's awesome. How about the next one? Millennials. Put our hands up, right? And Gen Z. Yeah, we got a few here. Awesome. That's great. And Gen Alpha, they're probably all up in the nursery, right? We got any here? Awesome. This is so important. I wanted to show you guys something quickly here. We'll go to the next slide. Because weekly church attendance by generation. I want you to see this. In 2019, so this is pre-pandemic, okay, the boomers were 25% of church attenders were boomers. We can see through the pandemic to 2022, that's the latest we have for statistics, we're still at 25%. So the boomers have held ground. Let's give the boomers a hand. That's awesome. You guys just did awesome. You didn't, you know. Now, we look at the next generation, the Generation X. probably about 24%. And after the pandemic, we're up to 28%. So you can see there's been an increase of this generation. But look at where we've had the biggest significant move is 20% of the millennials now are all the way up at 38%. Isn't that awesome? So God is moving on the hearts of our young people. And there's a reason why I'm saying this. If we go to the next slide, in a survey asking people about their rising spiritual hunger, and I think that this was done not just with Christians, but it says here that I am more open to God today than I was before the pandemic. 59% of Generation Z, the youngest one, they've said, hey, we're hungry for God. We see with the millennials, 54%, Generation X, 43%, and the boomers are starting to lose interest. But we don't like that, right? But these are the statistics and the numbers. And what's really important is you need to understand, because I was praying about this, God's going to do a move. He's going to bring in all of these young people. And if the boomers start dropping off and saying, I don't have a purpose anymore, who's going to raise up the next generation? I can't do it. I can't do it alone. It's going to be the boomers. It's going to be the millennials that are going to say, you know what? We're going to train these guys so that we leave behind a legacy, right? So the church, a lot of churches, they grow old and the generations, because they're not generational, they die out. We're not going to do that. But the boomers and the millennials are going to be more busy as young people come in than you are right now. Is that okay? So it's going to be so you're going to have lots of things to do. So I just wanted to encourage you with that. We're going to all be busy.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed our message. If you are in the Quinte West area, we would love to have you visit us on Sunday morning at 24 Dundas Street West, Trenton, Ontario. Check out our service times on our website at thecrossroads.ca.